Echo. Hello, hello, hello. That's better. Okay, thank you, Lord. This is Sunday morning, February the 4th, 2018. And I'm going to, sometimes the Lord gives me a cartoon before the movie. So we're going to get our, we're going to, I'm going to have a little cartoon before we go on to the movie. Is that okay? Okay. If I could entitle this anything, I'd probably entitle it The Backup Plan. Backup Plan. You know, there's an agenda in this world, steeped in the evil one. And his whole 24/7 agenda is to take your mind. To take your mind. And he'll do it any way he can. Fantasy. That's a big thing in this country, fantasy. Convincing people that what's real isn't real, or what is real is not real. You know, just anything to deceive and to keep you from the truth. That's he's the mind blinder. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they can't see the truth. But we have an advantage over those because we have the truth living on the inside of us, and he is the one that is a revealer of truth. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So yesterday, as I was praying, the Lord began to speak this word to me. The question he asked was, "Do you trust me?" Now, I don't mean anything disrespectful towards the faith teachers and the ones we came up under. They did their best and they did what they knew. But I think it was always, we always had a backup plan. You know, Jesus didn't give any backup plans, you know, and the disciples, he sent them out there in the middle of the ocean or the sea, and they're out there toiling. What happened? He walked out there to them. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, let me walk to you." And he began to, till he got afraid, saw the wind. But Jesus threw them out there, kind of in over their head. They thought they were going to perish. It was one time that he was in sleep in the boat, and this was going on. And they woke him up. "Don't you care that we're perishing?" He got up and said, "Peace, be still." We're always looking for a backup plan. We've always got a safety net. We've always got something back here. Well, if the Lord doesn't come through, then I'll have some backup plan. Come on now. We've got probably shelves with, well, this backup plan for this situation, this backup plan for that situation, this backup plan for that situation. Now, this came just this morning. This word came yesterday, but as I'm getting ready, the Lord begins to speak to me about the backup plan. This is the problem, see. Satan's after your mind. If you read the parable of the sower, once the word is sown, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. What is the word? The word is the promise. It's what brings our harvest of what we're asking God for, whatever it may be. And he is aiming to get us out of the spirit. And then when he gets us in the flesh, then he can take us out. He can abort our dream. There's abortions going on all over the planet, and it's not just the killing of the babies. It's the killing of the dreams and the things that God says are yours already in the Word. But there is a process, and a lot of people don't understand the process, and because they don't understand the process, what happens? They develop their own backup plans. You know, the Tower of Babel. I was reading about that yesterday because the same heaven that's firmament in Genesis 1 is the same heaven they were trying to get to in Genesis 11. They were going to build a tower to heaven. Well, then floods came through that firmament. They opened, the windows of heaven opened, and the floods came through that. So above that's water. So they were devising their own plan to keep themselves safe instead of the promise that was already the bow he put in the clouds to say, I won't ever open the floodgates on the earth again. So it was a backup plan. We don't trust God. We can't take God at his word. We just have something on the back burner, just in case. Do you know every time that we do that, we lose out? Anyway, I felt bad after I read this word, but it's kind of like, it hurts so good. The Lord is bringing us up higher. That's what this ministry is about. Setting people free from the strongholds of their minds, the things that have kept us bound in our circumstances, going around the mountain over and over and over again, getting those things out of the way so we can advance forward and actually walk in the kingdom of God. I mean, we've been looking at that our spirit man doesn't jump in and out of the spirit all the time, but sometimes there's so much clutter in the mind. There's so much clutter that the spirit, we wonder, well, why don't we perceive? I believe that's, you know, what the Lord's been trying to say. Angels are out there all the time. Things are going on all the time. But if we are so cluttered, we will not perceive them. I think our own backup plans is what clutters us up worst of all. Because Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. What truth is he talking about? He's talking about the truth of the Word of God, but not necessarily just that. When you go to him about something and he gives you the word on it, that's the word that's going to bring you out of your circumstances. That's the word that's going to be the answer that you need to succeed. The Lord says, I say, do you trust me? Question mark. I'm sure you would say, yes, Lord, I do. Well, your actions say otherwise. And I'm going, Lord. See, I take this personally. He's talking to me too. I said, seek first my kingdom and what you need, want, or desire would be given to you. Key. How much of the time whenever we desire something, we get on the internet, get our list, set our plans up, and we go look and we toil and we go back and forth and up and down looking for the... The Lord said, can't you just be still? Can't you just wait on me? I'd tell you exactly what to do. I'd give you exact knowledge. I'd tell you, like I told Abraham, just take off walking and I'll tell you when you get there. How much of the time do we take it and run with it? Kind of like we heard his command. We know what his word says. But do we wait for his plan to execute? Or do we just jump out there and just start doing stuff? These are those backup plans. All right. Anytime things get a little tough, you forget about trusting me. And you return to worldly ways like a dog to the vomit or the sow to the mud. The word you hear makes you accountable. You cannot sit under this kind of teaching, the kind of teaching that's going to bring the strongholds down in your mind and not be accountable. Satan will come to steal the word. You can bet on it. You can take it to the bank. Satan comes to steal it. He uses your circumstances. Come on. And what do circumstances usually do? It causes us to react in our flesh, and we'll run here and we'll run there and we'll run to this expert and that expert. Come on, am I telling the truth? He uses your circumstances and anything would push your buttons. Anything and everything that'll push your buttons. He comes to keep you walking in the flesh instead of being led by the Spirit, to rob you of your sonship. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. What's his aim? Don't let them follow him. Keep them off track, deceive them, push their buttons, cause this circumstance and that circumstance to where they just absolutely don't think they can trust God. My church is so carnal. They react and say, God said. Why in the world would God say in His Word, I'll do this for you, and then they go and do it another way and say God did it? Come on now, this happens all the time. I remember probably 2 years ago, the Lord had me teach on there's reacting going on all over the planet. And I got to thinking about the reactors that we have, the nuclear reactors and things. They're not the only things reacting on this planet. People are reacting all the time, running here and there. The sky's falling. I didn't say, he said here, they react and say, God said, he said, I didn't say. I didn't tell them to do that. They just thought, well, it just seems good. You know, we've talked about a lot of people think if it's good, it has to be God, especially when it comes to things like humanitarian aid and things. Well, this has to be God. Look, they're giving to the poor. Well, if God hasn't sanctioned it, it's evil. Evil, now get that. If God did not sanction it, it's evil. So he didn't say, if you being evil know how to give to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? They don't trust me. I can be trusted. And I can be depended upon. Stop. Wait. Listen. Is he asking too much? The Lord said to me personally, I want you to know that whatever comes into your life that I can be dependent on, that I am faithful and I will do exactly what my word says I will do. The problem is my children don't wait long enough for me to perform. They just go out and start doing stuff. Be still. There's a scripture that says, be still and know that I'm God. You can surely trust me over the symptoms of the world. And it's not just physical symptoms. I'm talking about sickness and disease. There's all kinds of symptoms. You suffer great losses because of your ways. Is it Isaiah that talks about consider your ways? What has come to you? You've sown much, reap little. You put your money in a sock with holes in it. Time to change your ways. See, these are these mindsets that have kept us strapped in these circumstances and in these places that we don't want to be in. We want to get free of. This is what he's talking about. I said, Lord, I'm ready to go on to something else. He said, I'm the one that says when you go on. And I want you to know this morning, what I bring is not my opinion. And a lot of times it's something I don't want to bring. Sometimes it's something it's hard for me to bring. Yeah. I said, Lord, they're going to all run off. And he said, let them run off then. These are his words. And I will not defend it. I mean, you want to run me out of town on a rail? Okay, go ahead. I'll just have to trust God. But I have to speak what he tells me to speak. Men not speaking God's word is why the church is where it is. Why our nation is the way it is. The church is the one that's going to be held accountable for what's going on. Not Clinton. Not Obama. We didn't pray for Obama. I admit it. I couldn't even stand to look at the man, much less pray for him. My fault. Our fault. Time to change your ways. To walk in the kingdom, you must listen to the king first. Duh. The best way to walk in the kingdom is listen to the king. What's the king saying about it? He's got a plan. He has a plan of victory for us. He never means defeat for us. But when we just take off and start doing our own things because we're afraid, because the circumstances come, we don't feel like we can handle, we just jump out and start doing something, just anything, because we're scared. Hear from me. Stop allowing your circumstances that scream at you drown out my voice. Is this hitting anybody today? Boy, I said, Lord, he cleaned me up and down yesterday. Showed me an area that I'd been seeking him about. Satan has come to steal the word. No word or seed, no harvest. This is what it's all about. It's about the garden. I saw a post from Bill Winston this week, and it was about Back to the Garden is the name of his book. I said, exactly. This is where it's all about, seed time and harvest. Mm-hmm. When you give in, you lose. Going to the world is not evil in itself. It's not asking me first. It's the evil. Consider Asa. Asa got mad at God. He was used to seeking God, asking God. Well, he got mad at God about something, so he got a disease in his feet, so he went to the doctors, and they treated him, but he died. The evil wasn't really the doctors per se, it was that he didn't ask God first. He died with a disease in his feet. You know, there are times that God may do the very thing we're thinking. He may say, go ahead and do that, but he's wanting to be asked first. So he said, seek first the kingdom, see? The king, seek first the king. Then all these things should be added. He sought out medical attention first, and he didn't ask me. It wasn't about the doctors. It was about doing his own thing. My children are so used to doing it themselves, they don't even think twice about it. They run here and there and spend all kinds of money, and I could have helped them for free. The system is stealing your money because you don't ask me. You have to understand whose system this is, who stole it from man. Satan. This system is not made for you to have victory. It's made to steal, kill, destroy. My plan is to always lead you to victory, prosperity, health, wealth, etc. You lose because of who you choose. Who are you going to believe or who are you trusting? The circumstances, which is Satan. Our God, the King, His Word. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not by their circumstances. Time to kick those circumstances out of the lead. You know, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. It's about which thought is leading in your life. And as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Whatever thought processes are leading in your life, that's what's leading you. There can only be one leader, one master, one God. There can't be two. That's a double-minded man. The one to whom much has been given, much is required. When you have access to a lot of good word, you get a lot of challenges. There's a lot of seed the devil's trying to come after that's been planted. The word you hear comes with accountability. You know what? When a farmer plants a seed in the ground, there's accountability that comes with it. He oversees those crops till they're in. Waters it, puts pesticides on it, all those things. It requires action. The doer is blessed in his doing. The one who hears but doesn't do is deceived. They're wondering, well, God, your word said it. But you jumped out there and did your own thing. You didn't wait to hear his instructions and hear him say how he wanted you to do it. You just jumped out there and did your own thing. And then when you had failure, you blamed it on God. Well, bless God. I'm not going to do that no more. Blame God. I always blame God. I am faithful. I am trustworthy. You can depend on me. When I was reading this, it was like, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. How much should we trust him more than anything else on this, in this earth or this planet? When my friend Lazarus was sick, I stayed put and waited on God's plan. It brought criticism from man, but ultimately it brought victory. He was criticized. Well, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's your fault. What did he do? He loved Lazarus. Yeah, Lazarus was one of his closest friends. And you, don't you know that the emotions of Jesus, he was a man, how he must have felt to have to stay there when he could have gone, but he would have stepped out in, outside of God's will, and Satan would have had him right there, and we would have lost our salvation. He was raised from the dead. What if I had let the circumstances lead me? It would have resulted in Lazarus' permanent death, and then it would have been our death too. Spiritual death. God's plan always leads to victory, but it's seldom popular with men. There is the kind of living my people must live in this hour, because they will need this kind of Holy Ghost power. See, God's wanting us to bring us into the kingdom and come up higher and walk in the supernatural all the time. A permanent connection. Yesterday, all day long, it was like I had pen and paper with me all day long. It was just flowing all day long, all day long. This is the way we're supposed to live. It isn't, well, just on Sunday I kind of get revved up a little bit, get a little revelation. Or, like I said, the spirit man does not jump in and out of the spirit. The spirit man walks in the spirit all the time. But as this clutter goes and these tactics are revealed and we begin to see things for the way they really are, then we can begin to see and be like Jesus, where he didn't have to go and have a prayer meeting and all this stuff and fast for days to get an answer about something. Because I had a situation facing me and I'm thinking, I guess I'm just going to stay up all night and pray. And the Lord said, no, why don't you just trust me? See, we put these burdens on ourselves, thinking we have to do all these things to get one lousy stinking thing from God. No. If we trusted him like we trust the world and its systems. See, his burden is light. His yoke is easy. It's not a toiling thing. In fact, he just soon you keep your hands off of it. Too hard? Is it too hard? Sometimes it's hard to let go, take your hands completely off of things and say, okay, Lord. Because circumstances scream and they say, well, I have to, and this is due and that's due or whatever's due. So we just do something. All right, let me pick up where it was. The one to whom much is given, much is required. The word you hear comes with accountability. It requires action. The doer is blessed in its doing. The one who hears but doesn't do is deceived. I'm faithful. I'm trustworthy. You can depend on me. Okay, I read about Lazarus. God always leads to victory, but it's seldom popular with men. This is the kind of living my people must live in for this hour, because they will need this kind of Holy Ghost power. See, when we let mixture enter in, we're back and forth all the time, we're seeing no results. We're jumping over into the flesh and the Satan's taking us out, stealing our crop, taking our victory. But to walk in Holy Ghost power for this hour, we're going to have to be always walking in the Spirit. Paul said, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Okay, just a little bit more. God's power is going to show up and bring many into the kingdom. See, when we learn to walk this way, God's power will be available at all times. He's asking us, are we available? Well, if we're available, he's available. When we come across a situation like Jesus did with Lazarus, we're always right here, living from the inside. Like the song, roaring like a lion, living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God is real. We've got this supply on the inside of us. Jesus, wherever he went, this is where he lived. This is where the Lord wants us to live. But I'd say today, a lot of the things that we've asked for, we've asked him, and maybe time has elapsed or circumstances are there, and we jump out and do something, and we lose it out. And the Lord's challenging us today, I am faithful. I can be depended on. I can be trusted. It's like it hurt the Lord's feelings. He said, you trust the bank. You trust a lawyer, people you don't even know. And me, you treat like I'm the last one you ever consider. That no way. Why? It's what we grew up in. It's what we've seen in churches. Everybody tries and tries and tries before you know it. Next day they're at the doctor's office or they're, you know what I'm saying? We've been so used to this failure that we don't think that we can attain victory for ourselves. See, the Lord's been talking to us for months and months and months and months about getting used to David's armor. The power of the Holy Ghost would come upon him and kill the lion and the bear and kill the giant. Instead of Saul's armor. Saul got afraid and let circumstances cause him to listen to the people instead of to God. And he lost. He lost his kingdom. He lost his son. He lost his life. Backup plan. You know where that backup plan needs to be? In that trash can. How hard is it going to have to get for us to learn this? I said, Lord, what if, let me paint a scenario for you. Now, I believe the United States is going to protect Israel, and I do think a lot of things about the end times, but what if it wasn't that way? What if overnight everything you're used to running to and using was gone? Who would you trust? Well, most people be like those out in the wilderness, blaming God, blaming the leaders, blaming everybody because they didn't have water and they didn't have provision and they didn't have this and they didn't have that. That's pretty well the world we live in. Many would be like that. Just think about it. If these natural things that we have looked so highly to all of our lives were not there anymore, how would we act? That's what I mean. I'm not coming against the teachers of the faith. They did the best they could, and a lot of times they're dealing with people that if you took their medicine away from them, they'd walk away from you and never come back. You see what they're dealing with. Well, we've got a whole world that's hyped up on drugs and fantasy and everything else. They live in a virtual world. Back in the mid-90s, the Lord told me that it'll become so bad, virtual reality, that people, especially people that have lots of problems, they'll live in their virtual world. They won't come out of it. I know of someone. This was a few years ago that they played Avatar, and they were a beautiful avatar, and they didn't want to go anywhere and do anything because they wanted to be in their virtual world. Well, we see this happening right now. It was just the beginning of it during that time in the mid-90s, but that it's kind of like a drug addiction. You're in another world. And we're geared to such fantasy in the movies and things that people will believe anything. They actually are going to become what they have, you know, what you've been eating. You are what you eat. Not physically, but spiritually. So if you're full of that, that's what's going to cause you to do whatever, and whoever could come in and do anything to you, dupe you, deceive you, you'll never give it a second thought. Backup plan goes in the garbage can. There is no backup plan. There's only Jesus. We just need to learn to be still. We need to learn to say, okay, you know, fear comes against people, yeah. But he hasn't given me the spirit of fear. Fear is real. It's a spirit, though. It has to be dealt with. It can't be medicated. It has to be confronted with the Word of God. for it to leave. A lot of people spending lots of money on pills, and it's just the root of the problem, whether it be stress or whatever, is care, fear. Can't medicate a demon. Gotta cast him out. Thank you, Jesus.